Hi, welcome to BSing Insurance. My name is Stephanie.
And I'm Brian.
And we are here to talk to you everything about being in the insurance industry, joining the insurance industry, being a veteran in the insurance industry, and everything in between.
We're here to BS some insurance.
We're very happy to have you today.
It's going to be a great conversation. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about 1099 versus W-2. And are you in the right relationship?
How does that affect an agent?
I mean, everything. It's everything. It's everything.
Yeah. So I think that one of the things that we've seen is people being at 1099, but actually been treated like an employer W-2.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So let's...
I think a lot of agencies, majority of agencies are failing at that, that they're treating their 1099s as W-2 employees.
Yeah. So what is a 1099?
A 1099 is an independent contractor. You basically own your own business. You're a sole proprietor and you name the shots. You are your own person, your own business, and no one can tell you what to do.
And a W-2?
Basically, they own you.
Yeah. A W-2 is just like if you work at any other type of job, right? If you work at Walmart or you work at
Target,
a grocery store, Target, or
Starbucks.
Name a job, right, where you have to show up someplace or even not necessarily show up someplace, but working from home. But
they're delegating your work hours, when you work, how you work, exactly what you're doing.
Most people are W-2 employees, right?
Yes.
Whereas a 1099 is an independent contractor, which
yes.
is basically a whole nother business operation aside from the business operation that you're working with,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Which is one of the key things that we kind of we're really careful when we're not careful, but this is one of the key things that we stress with the people that we bring on is you don't work for us, you work with us.
Exactly. We're
right?
a team.
We're not your boss.
Nope.
We're not the boss.
That's... I'm not sitting over your head and be like, you have to work today, Jennifer.
Yep.
I don't do that. I don't
Whereas
micromanage people.
Some insurance agencies or, you know, larger.
Many insurance
many of them
agencies.
Are holding that 1099, you know, holding you as a 1099 status, but treating you like an employee.
Yeah.
So I think
so many of them.
And obviously they shouldn't be doing that. Department of Labor changed the standards in January of what a 1099 is compared to what an employee is. You want to hit on that real quick?
You have the standards right in front of you.
I do.
I don't have that pulled up, but I'm assuming what it says, but I don't want anybody to come on here and quote me, Kyle.
Don't quote me, Kyle.
Basically, you know, so many people are coming to us as we're onboarding new agents. We've been onboarding agents like crazy this spring, and so many of them are 1099, but they're being treated like W-2. You know, they come to me and ask me, do I have to work Saturdays and Sundays? Is there call times? Is there a time where we have to get on at 7 o'clock at night and dial? Do we have to do this? Do we have to do that? No. Well, I suggest you do certain things. I'm not going to sit there and be like, you must be in the office on Sundays at 1 p.m. to dial for 3 hours. Legit, that was something I dealt with.
Yep.
Legit, the first place I ever worked.
And another big catalyst for the conversation is off of Facebook group posts, right? Like somebody mm-hmm. was really harping on the fact that, you know, agents should be W-2s and that we were doing it wrong because
I blocked that guy.
So apparently from his perspective, if you provide leads, not mandate leads or, you know, force somebody to buy your leads, but if you provide leads to your agents, then you are treating them as employees. And
that
is not accurate. There's six different things that the Department of Labor is using right now to determine.
Okay, what's that?
What they are.
Tell
and
us.
Again, this just changed in January. So this is relatively new information. And number one is the opportunity for profit or loss depending on managerial skill. Now, does an independent insurance agent have that opportunity depending on their own ability to manage themselves?
For sure.
100%, right? If you don't manage your time wisely, you're going to lose money.
You're going to fail,
right? So that is one of the factors, right? So if the person that you're bringing on doesn't manage their time very well and still makes the same amount of money, or doesn't manage their business very well and still makes the same amount of money, that person is probably an employee, right? But if they have the opportunity to lose their shirt because they're not getting their job done, then probably a 1099 contractor.
Okay, what's number two?
So number two, investment by the worker and the potential employer, right? So if both people have to put skin in the game to get the job done, right? Does the contractor actually, you know, front money for tools, right? Or leads in our case, or their CRM, or their this, that, and the other. They're tools of their trade, right? The things that they need in order to get business done or to generate business. Do they have skin in the game on that?
Interesting, because I was a 1099 for over a decade for a very large company, and I was mandated to pay for things. They made me pay for an iPad every month, $25 a month, that I didn't even use.
It's a whole nother question, right? And does the potential employer also have an investment in that, right? So obviously, as the agency owners, we have investment into the agency. We have investment into the people that we bring on to work with us. So we're there, right?
Yes.
And so does our agents. Our agents also need to invest. They need to invest in their leads. They need to invest in their training. They need to invest in
their
the...
What's that? Their time, their electronics. We don't provide any of that for
them. They need to invest in their tools, right? We don't provide a computer. We don't provide a tablet, right? These are things that they bring to the table as the independent contractor.
Okay, that's a good one. What's number three?
Number three is the degree of performance of the work relationship, right? Degree of performance of the work relationship.
It's pretty open-ended.
Well, what they mean by that is the work relationship definition and duration, continuous or exclusive work for other employers, right? So they say that they would weigh in favor of the worker being an employee. Is the work relationship indefinite in duration, non-exclusive, project-based, or sporadic-based on the worker being a business for themselves and marketing their services or labor to multiple businesses? That would weigh in favor of the work being an independent contractor. So what that means is, if you bring somebody on and say, you're going to be with me forever or until you quit, right? Right then and there, that looks like that person is an employee.
What about a non-compete?
That's a totally different conversation. They just changed the rules on that. We need to evaluate those things.
Because it sounds to me, just thinking about it, that you wouldn't be able to do a non-compete with your 1099s. We don't do a non-compete with our 1099s,
so,
but we know that lots of agencies do.
An independent contractor, the work should be indefinite in duration, non-exclusive, project-based, or sporadic-based. Right? So non-exclusive, which means that as a W-2 employer, like the boss can say, you can't have another job outside of this job.
Yes.
Right? As a 1099, you can have another job. But we encourage our new agents to have other jobs.
Yeah, which is interesting, because I know personally, when I first got in the business, I was told I needed to quit my coaching job in the evenings. And then we have an agent that we just brought on that was told by a company that he needs to quit his full-time job, even though he's got a baby on the way.
By another company, not by us.
That provides him health insurance, that he's just, you know, trying to get into the business. So run from those relationships. No one should tell you that you have to quit your other job.
Right.
Unless you're a W-2 and they're providing you a steady paycheck and benefits, or maybe not necessarily even benefits, but, you know, a 1099 should not be mandated to quit their job.
No.
At all.
So. As a 1099, the person who brings you on, they can't say that you can't have another job, especially in another job that's outside of the field that you're, right? So if we contract a life and health agent with us, we can expect that their contract, we could write in our contract, we don't have to, but we could write in our contract that if they're going to do life and health, they have to do life and health through us. Now, we don't do property and casualty.
Nope.
So if they want to do property and casualty, and I obviously I can't support that. So there's no reason why I couldn't tell them or should be able to tell them that they can't go do that someplace else.
Yeah, I encourage you to get some leads that way for your health and life. Yeah. It's a great win-win.
Yep.
Okay, so what's number, what are you on, number four now or five?
The nature and degree, number four, nature and degree of control, right? So
there we go. That's a big one right there.
Right. Does the potential employer have control, including reserve control, over the performance of the work and the economic aspects of the working relationship? Reserve control means the employer has a right to control even if they don't actually exercise the control. An example of reserve control is if an employer reserves the right to discipline a worker for declining assignments.
Mm.
Right? So if you go to as a 1099 to one of those larger organizations and they say, you need to be here on Saturday and dial. You need to be here on Sunday and dial. And you say, no.
No, I have my kid's soccer. I don't want to.
Right? So if that is a problem, if they have the ability to punish you in some way for that, right? So, and how that is, you know, how that punishment could be a bunch of different ways in our business, right?
They're sneaky things. They'll get around it.
But if the employer reserves the right to discipline a worker for declining assignments, then that's a considered an employer, not a contractor, right? So show up on Saturday and dial. No. Okay, well, no leads for you. Or don't bother coming in on Monday now, or whatever. Mm. You know, that is... That's an employer relationship, not a contractor relationship.
Yep. That's why I left my first spot. I was captive for two months, something like that. And basically when they told me it was a problem that I wasn't coming on Sundays, I was like, peace.
Yeah. So some of the factors, they give some factors to determine whether you're right. So does the employer set a worker's schedule? Do they supervise the performance of work? Limit the worker's ability to work for others or places demands on or restrictions on the worker that do not allow them to work for others when they choose. Does the employer use technological means to supervise the performance of work, such by device, like, you know, do they check your iPhone to see where you're at, right? Or do they require you to log into an app at a certain time? Does the employer reserve the right to discipline or supervise? Does the employer control economic aspects of the working relationship, such as the price or rates for services or marketing, right? Hmm. So in our business, the answer to that is all no, right? Because we work with insurance companies.
Yep.
The insurance companies do those things.
Yes.
So I don't say you will sell this life insurance product at this rate, right? We don't get to say that.
No.
The life insurance says that. So while the independent agent does have to do those things, those aren't set by us. Those are set by somebody else. Those rules flow through us. Those are not rules that we just make up.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we can say you can't use an auto dialer and call a bunch of people for Medicare, you know, MAPDs on an auto dialer and random text messages. I can tell you, you're not allowed to do that because that's not my rule, right? Those are CMS rules. We have to enforce those rules because CMS says so.
Okay, number five.
Number five, the extent to which work is performed is an integral part of the potential employer's business, right? So if work is performed in a critical, necessary, or central part to the employer's principal business, then this factor indicates that the worker is an employee. If the work is performed by a worker that is not critical, then they may be an independent contractor.
Mm.
So when I first read that, I was like, huh, you know, that could be a sign. That could be something that, you know, we would have to really think hard on. And then I realized we have more than one agent, right? So if one agent doesn't go out and sell or doesn't go out and produce or decides they don't want to come in or, you know, do anything that day, okay, it doesn't affect my business.
Yep.
Our agency still goes on whether that agent produces anything or not,
yep.
Right? So no, I as much as we love our agents and, you know, they are all important, they're not integral. Our business goes on without them.
Yes.
So, you know, and as an insurance agency, that's where you should be, right?
Yes.
If that one agent coming in, you know, doesn't show up and do what you expected them to do that day, and that shuts you down for the day, that guy's an employee, right?
Yep.
He's not a contractor.
Yeah. And so, you got to really reevaluate your insurance business, because if you're not the the main player there.
Right.
It's scary.
Right.
It's
very scary. I mean, if you, so I think one thing to think about, like, is if you have a agent who moves into a manager's position, yes. Right? So
has to be W-2.
If we brought somebody on and we needed that person to answer phones and be there and do this and you know,
basically become one of us.
Right. That person is an employee, yes. At that point. It's not, they're not a contractor, right?
Which we've talked about. We want to eventually do in our agency.
One of these days. We're not there yet.
Okay. Last but not
the
least.
The last one. Skill and initiative. Does the worker use specialized skills to perform the work, and do those skills contribute to business-like initiative? A factor indicates an employee status when the worker does not use specialized skills in the performing of work, or where the worker is dependent on training from the potential employer to perform the work. Okay, so what does that mean for us, right? Because we do provide training. It's the thing that we're here for.
Yes.
But they don't depend on our training.
No.
The training that you need to have in order to get into this business doesn't come from us.
Nope.
You got to get the state license first, right? You go through the training for the state course. That's separate and completely has nothing to do with us, unless you ask us where to get it, and then we can point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
But we don't tell you you have to take it there.
And we don't even start training our agents until after they've taken the test.
Right. So the training that you need to do the work, you have to get that on your own, or yep. Get it from someplace else. You don't get it from us, right? We don't put on training courses to become a licensed insurance agent. We don't do those things. We don't put on AHIP courses, right, in order to sell Medicare Advantage products. Somebody else does that. You know, we have to enforce whether you have that training because the government says so.
Yes. We can't get you contracts unless you have it. So
right. And
it's just checking a box.
Carrier-specific products.
Yep.
While we can point you in the right direction for these things, we can't train you on what the carrier has to train you on.
No.
So is there training that you have to have 100%? Is it dependent on us to get it done? No. There's other places that you need to go to get these things. It's
yes.
Not coming from us, yep. At that point. We're not telling you how to press button X on our machine. And if you go to another shop, it's a completely different button X. If you know how to sell an MAPD product, the rules for that particular carrier, it doesn't matter what insurance agency you work for. The rules are the rules.
Yes. And we bring this up today to tell you guys about the changes, but also, you know, think about your relationship that you're in right now and what the expectations are. And are you in the right place? Are you in a good environment? Are they trying to use you? Are they trying to partner with you? We want those partnerships, right? We want those relationships. It's not like that in a lot of the insurance world.
Right.
It's the opposite of this. And I hope that someday this changes. But this right here is a reason why so many agents fail. Just being set up improperly from the beginning and the expectations being set up improperly from the beginning, it's just a recipe for disaster. And, you know, I am huge into outreach of new agents. I personally send emails to new agents. I talk to new agents. I get a lot of emails back, you know, thank you. I've already gotten a contract with XYZ company. I know XYZ company. I'm not going to badmouth them. I usually respond back. I said, that's amazing. Keep my number. You know, if you ever have questions or it doesn't work out, let's have coffee. And we've gotten several agents by me responding like that. And I usually 60 days, they call me back and say, hey, you know, you reached out to me and I kept your email and I want to go have that coffee because I want to talk about, you know, what I'm going through right now and is this normal and et cetera. And a lot of times the biggest complaints are these 1099 versus W-2
right.
Relationship problems.
And the thing of it is like the reason why an agency does that is it's cheaper to have a 1099,
oh,
right?
For sure.
You don't have to worry about payroll taxes. You don't have to worry about workers' compensation. You don't have to worry about unemployment. And those things take like that's a big burden and expense on an agency,
especially but a startup agency.
Well, in order to have that, you know, employer-employee relationship, in order to put those demands on people, that's the price you pay,
mm-hmm.
And they don't want to pay it. So many places want to, you know, treat you like that employee and have the benefit of independent contractor, right? Yes. So, and man, it sucks. But this is not just an insurance specific thing. This is not just something that happens in the insurance agency. I would actually probably say that it's less likely to happen here than it is in a lot of other fields, especially like construction, right? Mm-hmm. You see that a lot. I did construction. I know how it kind of works sometimes. And those people treat you like an independent or treat you like an employee, show up on Monday or you're fired. Oh, by the way, you're an independent contractor, right? Yeah. And they think they can get away with that because
until somebody gets hurt.
Until somebody gets hurt, right? And then, you know, well, he brought his own tools. He's a contractor. No, that's not how it works.
Doesn't work that way.
Unfortunately. So, you know, somebody happens to be listening to this not in the insurance. Like, these are Department of Labor standards. These aren't just not insurance agency specific. Like, these are workforce wide. Any place you work in the United States, these are the six rules that, you know, they have to use. And some states might have more stringent rules, right? Because states can make the rules harder. They can't make them easier.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're in California or New York, you probably have completely different rules than what I just read right here. Yep. If you're in Florida, you're pretty accurate.
Yep.
Texas, I don't know. But that's something to keep in mind. Your state, these are national rules, state and even local specific rules can be different.
Yep. And our podcast is all about bringing awareness in the business and reaching out to those agents who need to have a little extra, who just need a ear, a helping hand,
right?
A lending hand.
And for agency owners too, like anybody in that management position, like if you get caught treating 1099 contractors like employees, if they really should have been classified as employees, there are huge financial penalties for you.
Yes.
You will pay the government lots and lots of money. Either you didn't know better or you were purposely trying to skate by the system. That the government doesn't care, they're still going to charge you lots and lots of money. And if they think you did it on purpose, they're going to charge you even more money.
Running the business is hard. It really is. And it's really not for everybody. Managing an insurance agency, running an insurance agency, you know, what kind of gets me is on some of these boards, you get these entrepreneurs that just want to go buy up insurance agencies and they want to be hands off and they really don't know what they're doing. They had known nothing about the business. That is not the relationship to be in. You've got to be in the relationship with people that know what they're doing. And you got to be in the relationship with the insurance business owners that have gone out and knocked on doors, that have been at people's kitchen tables, that have sold, because there's just no other way to get around
I've seen something on one of the businesses for sale by owner, you know, Facebook groups the other day.
So annoying.
I'm thinking about buying an insurance agency. Well, have you ever worked in insurance? No, but how hard can it be? I don't know. There's a lot of ways to get sued. So
a lot of ways to get sued.
There's a lot of ways that you can do things that'll get yourself in trouble, cost you lots of money.
Yeah.
So speaking of costing you lots of money, as an independent contractor, one thing that an agent needs to know, payroll taxes are not taken out of that money that the agency is paying you. So please make sure you are setting aside money out of every check to pay your taxes at the end of the year, because the government is going to ask for that money. And if you don't have it, it's going to be very bad. And eventually they're going to put liens on your stuff and you're not going to be able to have your license anymore because you're going to have judgments against you. So,
And we're going to eventually have a tax expert on here talking to you guys about write-offs, things like that. So definitely stay tuned to that. We're going to get her here on one of these episodes. But just know that you guys need to be prepared. You need to keep receipts. And if you have questions, you need to go talk to a tax expert. We're not tax experts, so we can't really give you advice. But just know that you need to make a relationship. Hey guys, if you sell like health insurance, a tax advisor is one of your best partnerships for referrals. Did you guys know that? Talking about referral partners. Get a tax expert as a referral partner. And it's win-win-win, right? You're going to give them referrals. You're going to give them business of your own. And then ideally, when they get somebody that comes in that messed up their ACA or don't have health insurance, they say, listen, I know John down the street. Give him a call.
Yep, exactly. So.
Well, I think that's about it for today. We just wanted to bring that up. If you guys have any questions, please reach out, comment on our YouTube, or shoot us a email at
admin@sbginsurance.com.
Yep.
And you can find us on the website, bsinginsurance.com, sbginsurancegroup.com is our agency's website.
And we're on Facebook. We're on TikTok, SBG Insurance. Please go follow us. We're so close to being able to go live here on our TikTok.
Yep. BSing Insurance, the podcast on Facebook too, right?
Yep.
Yep. Twitter, X, we're on X. We don't really post as much on X. There's so much social media to keep track of, but that might be a whole other podcast.
Mostly TikTok and Facebook for us. So
yeah.
Well, with that, guys, have a great day, and we will see you next week.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.